You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. We're in between Season 9 and Season 10, which will start on May 1st. During the four-week break between seasons, we're posting audio sermons each week instead of the regular episodes. The sermon for this week is titled, A Father's Advice to His Son, and was preached on December 31st, 2017 at the Eastside Church of Christ in Morgantown, Kentucky. As with the other lessons we post, I invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach. With that being said, here's this week's lesson. If you would turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to be looking at a passage here for our lesson this morning. And as we look at the book of Proverbs, much of the book contains wisdom that a father wished to pass down to his son. Now, as we look at this, and we look at this passage where the wise man is saying, my son, give attention to my words. This lesson is not just for Caden and Joseph and Amos. This is for all of us. That every one of us needs to pay attention, myself included, as I listen to, and as this lesson is presented, it's for me just as much as it's for anyone else. All of us need to learn from these things. So while the book of Proverbs is written from the perspective, by and large, from a father to a son and imparting wisdom to him, that this is also for all of us. Why these things were written down, why they have been included in the Scriptures by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because it is for all of us. So in this lesson, we're going to look at Solomon's advice to his son in this text in Proverbs chapter 20, the last few verses of chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, going through the end of the chapter. And we're going to see what we can learn from it and how it applies to us receiving the wisdom that comes from God in His Word. So to begin with, we'll read this passage in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Several things that we see in this passage, and we're going to highlight seven pieces of advice that Solomon gives here in this passage. And again, whether we are a son or a father or a daughter or whoever we are, young or old, all of this applies to us. All of this is necessary for us. And so we look at what Solomon says here, and the wisdom that he imparts is, number one, we need to be willing to listen. He begins this by saying, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. It does not matter how much wisdom someone has if the person they are trying to impart it to is not willing to listen. Solomon was the wisest man who lived on the earth, apart from Jesus Christ when he was here in the flesh. But other than that, Solomon was the wisest one to live on the face of the earth. But that would not do his son any good if his son was not willing to give attention to his words and incline his ear to his sayings. If you look over in Proverbs chapter 19, there are other passages here in this book that relate to what we read there in Proverbs chapter 4. But in Proverbs 19, what we see here is that we have to have a willingness to listen if we are going to develop wisdom or to grow in wisdom. Proverbs 19 and verse 20, it says, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. If we want to be able to gain wisdom, and wisdom that looks forward to the remainder of our life here, we have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing, even, it says there, accept discipline. There are times we're going to have to be corrected because we have done things that are wrong. We have done things that are not in harmony with what is God's will, with what is right. We have to be willing to accept discipline. Over in Proverbs chapter 2, at the beginning of that chapter, Solomon begins it in much the same way, where he makes an appeal to his son in verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. If we want to discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, if we want to know what is right, if we want to know what is wise, what wisdom is, we have to be willing to receive these words. We have to be willing to listen, to incline our heart to understanding. Crying out for discernment shows a desire that we will discern, that we will understand, that we seek after these things. Is verse 4, seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. We have to be willing to listen. But if you look over in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17, it says there, he is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. There are two paths there that are talked about. The path of life, and then one who would go astray from the path of life. Well, what's the difference between them? Well, the difference is one is willing to listen. One is willing to heed instruction. But the one who ignores this, one who needs to be corrected, who needs to be reproved but refuses to listen, that one is going to go astray. When we refuse to listen, we will stray from the truth and stray from what is right. This is why we are told in James 1 and verse 19 that we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. A lot of times if we are receiving this reproof or receiving wisdom that maybe we is contrary to what we want to think or what we want to do, we might be quick to speak and want to talk back. We want to argue. We want to try to defend what we've always done, what we've always believed. We might be quick to anger and get mad at what someone has said in trying to impart this wisdom to us. James says, be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. God gave us the ability to listen. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We have that ability to listen, and we need to be sure that we use it. So Solomon says there in Proverbs 4 and verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Then the next thing he says is, do not forget what you've been taught. Verse 21, do not let them, these words and these sayings that Solomon is imparting to him, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Listening and that willingness to listen is a necessary first step, but it is only the first step. After we listen, we need to remember those things that were taught. And notice what he says here in verse 21. Do not let them depart from your sight and keep them in the midst of your heart. There are two things, two ways that we don't forget this. The first way is talked about in the first part of that verse. Do not let them depart from your sight means that you keep seeing them. You keep reading them. You keep studying them. As we look at the scriptures, we have to keep them before us. We have to be seeing these things. We cannot just think about the scriptures. And obviously, meditation and thinking about the scriptures is important. But we can't just do that. We have to look at the scriptures. We have to read the scriptures, study the scriptures. If you look back in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, as the law was given to the people, there's an emphasis that is placed upon seeing the commandments that were given. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. God gave this law. He wanted it to be visible to the people. Now, they didn't have a printing press like what we have, or certainly didn't have access to the internet or computers where they could just pull up a copy of the Bible anytime that they wanted to. And so there would be certain things that they would have to write down and remember. But the emphasis is placed here on writing them down, making sure that you see them, keeping them before you. We have to keep the Word of God in front of us. We have to keep reading it and studying it and being reminded of it that way. But Solomon also said, keep it in your heart. And in verse 6 here of Deuteronomy 6, it says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, that your word I have treasured in my heart, that I will not sin against you. We have to keep these things before us where they are visible as a reminder for us, but also keep them in our heart that we do remember them, that we do think about them, and can call these things to mind. If you look over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Do not forget what you were taught. It is possible to be taught everything that was right, to be taught everything that was good, and then because we didn't keep paying attention to those things, we heard them, but then we drifted away from it. Or another translation says, we let these things slip. We have to be continually reminding ourselves of these things by paying attention, as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, to the reading of scriptures, to be reminded by others, as Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, I am writing these things to you by way of reminder so that your mind will be stirred up. We have to receive reminders and remind ourselves of these things that God's Word teaches us. Otherwise, even though we may have been willing to listen initially, if we don't keep these things in our minds, if we don't have these things in our hearts, it's not going to do us any good. We have to remember and not forget those things that we were taught. Then in Proverbs 4, verse 22, the next thing that Solomon says in his advice to his son, he reminds him that this teaching is for his benefit. Verse 22 of Proverbs 4, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. This is for your good. There is often a temptation for anyone, for people in general, a temptation to view teaching like this, whether it's teaching from a father to a son, or when we look at the application of looking at the scriptures, where we are thinking about what the scriptures teach is what God has said to us. A lot of times there's a temptation to view teaching like that as being an unnecessary hindrance or a restraint for us, because people want to do what they want to do. They have in their mind that they want to be able to do this, whether it's worship any way they want to in as they come together and assemble, whether it's being able to go out on the weekends and drink, whether it's going to be able to, you know, marry whoever they want to marry and divorce whenever they want to divorce, whatever it is, people want to think and want to do whatever they want to do. And so when people have that mindset, there is a tendency to reject teaching like this, what the Word of God teaches, because God says, this is what you have to do. This is what I expect of you. And a lot of times people don't want to listen to that. But what Solomon reminds his son here in Proverbs 4:22 is that this is for your benefit. This is not just, you know, Solomon is as a father giving advice to his son just because the father just wants to be able to boss his kids around. That's not why parents give the rules that they give. And it's not why God has given the instructions that he has given in his words. Not just because he wants to tell us what to do and boss us around, just because he gets pleasure from us having to grudgingly serve him. He gives us these instructions because they are life for those who find them and health for us. If you look over a couple chapters later in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is speaking here. Wisdom is personified here and is speaking. It says there in Proverbs 8:22, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from earliest times of the earth." And it goes on to describe how wisdom existed with God before the creation, before all the different things were made and formed. Wisdom existed with God. Wisdom is from him. Because of this, we skip down toward the end of this chapter in verse 35. "He who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." This wisdom, and people may want to reject it at first because, well, I just want to be able to do what I want to do. This wisdom that comes from God, that existed before this world was ever created, this is for our good. If we find this wisdom, we find life. It is valuable. It's why the proverb writer said in Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and knowledge and understanding." That we gain those things from the truth of God's word. This is valuable. This is for our benefit. But if you look over in Proverbs chapter 13, what we also need to remember is that not only does this lead to a blessing, following after the wisdom that is from above, that God has given in his word, that Solomon was imparting to his son, not only is this for our benefit, but also following a different path, doing something other than what God has said, doing what we want to do, is only going to lead to trouble. In Proverbs 13 and verse 15, it says, "Good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard," or the way of transgressors. When we transgress the law of God, when we sin against God, people say, "Well, that's the easy way. I just get to do whatever I want to do." No, you may be doing what you want to do, but it's not the easy way. There are consequences in this life for doing what you want to do. There are consequences for going out and drinking every weekend. There are consequences for breaking up your home because you're just tired of your wife and you want to leave her for someone else. There are consequences, negative consequences in this life. But more than that, you look back in Proverbs chapter 10, beyond this life, this affects us. Proverbs 10:25, it says, "When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation." Much of the book of Proverbs deals with things that pertain to this life and how it's better to follow after the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of the world. But there are also passages like this in the book of Proverbs that emphasize the fact that there is something beyond this life. The righteous have an everlasting foundation. The wicked, they don't have this. They don't have this everlasting foundation that the righteous have. Jesus' words, as we see in John chapter 6 and verse 68, are the words of eternal life. We need to follow those words. Those words are more valuable than anything that I could say, anything that some other preacher in some denominational church could say, or anyone else. His words are valuable. His words lead to life. And so when we look at what Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 4, it's a reminder that while you may want to do whatever you want to do, that's contrary to what is being imparted to you, this wisdom from above, it's really not going to benefit you in the end. It's really not going to be good for you. This teaching, following this teaching, is for your good. It is for your benefit. And so do not reject it because, well, I just don't want to follow it. It's for your good to follow these things. Then the next thing that Solomon says to his son, he tells him to watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Later in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 27, the wise man talks about the fact that our heart is what directs us in this life. He said there in the verse we read in chapter 4, verse 23, that from the heart flow the springs of life. It's worded a little bit differently here in Proverbs 27 and verse 19. For it says, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. As you look into a body of water, whether it's a lake or a river, whatever it is, you look down into it, you see your face reflected back to you. It reflects in the water. Wise man says, in the same way, the heart of man reflects man. The heart of man shows a picture of who you are. That there are people who will try to put on a show and put on a display for others and try to portray themselves as being something they are not. Their heart shows what they really are. Their heart shows their character. From the heart flow the springs of life. So Solomon says here in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart. That word watch or keep your heart means to guard it or protect it. That it's the idea of you have something of value that needs to be protected. And so what do people do when they have something that needs to be protected? Well, they place measures in place that will protect that, whatever it is, whether it's money, whether it's some other type of valuables. We lock our doors. We might put things in a safe. You have people who have guards that are in banks and things like that to protect those things that are valuable. Watch over your heart with all diligence. One of the things we can do to watch over our heart with all diligence, to protect our heart, is what the psalmist said over in Psalm 101, is that as much as possible, we need to prevent what is corrupt from entering into our heart. In Psalm 101, verse 3, the psalmist says, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. There are a lot of things in this world that we see that come before us that are corrupt and that are wrong. We cannot avoid seeing everything. But what the psalmist is saying here, that I am not going to be the one who is responsible for putting these things before me. I'm not going to go out looking for these things. I'm not going to put myself in a position where these corrupt thoughts and corrupt actions and corrupt speech, I'm not going to put those things before me where I allow those things to enter into my heart. Because I don't want to, as it says there at the end of that verse, I don't want it to fasten its grip on me. We need to, as much as we can, prevent what is corrupt from entering into our heart. But also, as Paul said over in Philippians chapter 4, not only do we try to keep out those things that need to be kept out, but we also try to cultivate what is good and what needs to be there and think on those things. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Think about these things. Watch over your heart. Over in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus warned about this, about watching over our heart. Matthew 15 and verse 18 says, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. When those things happen, where do they come from? They come from the heart. We need to watch over our heart. We need to keep our heart pure because God expects us to obey from the heart. Romans 6:17 talks about how we obey the Lord from the heart, that form of teaching that was committed to us. Keep your heart pure. Watch over your heart. Do not allow those things that should not be there to get in. And those things that should be there, make sure you pay attention to those things. Think about those things. Meditate on those things so that they remain in there. Then the next thing that we see here in Proverbs 4, what Solomon says is that we need to be honest in all things. Proverbs 4:24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. We are to keep our speech truthful. A little bit later in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 12, beginning in verse 17, it says, he who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. There's something else that's mentioned in this passage that is not emphasized in the passage that we read. We are to speak truth. We are to be honest. We are not to speak those things that are wrong. But when we are trying to keep from speaking those things that are wrong, it's not just, well, don't intentionally deceive others. We could say what is wrong unintentionally. Verse 18, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We have to be careful with our words. And the fact that we may not be intentionally trying to deceive anyone doesn't matter if we are still causing harm by our speech because we speak rashly, we speak what we shouldn't speak, we're not careful with the words that we say. We're not bringing healing, but instead we're causing pain. We're causing destruction because of the words that we use. So it's more than just, you know, avoid intentionally lying. Keeping deceitful speech from us and being honest in all things includes being careful with what we say, that we are careful that what we say is true and is right. Back in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 24, on this point about being honest in all things, you look at what he says there. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. The New American Standard uses these words deceitful and devious. Now, these are two different Hebrew words. There's a lot of overlap in the meaning, but there are a little bit of a difference between them. When we think about what is deceitful speech, that word means something that is a distortion, that we have changed the truth, that we have taken what the truth is, we've changed it, maybe even just changed it a little bit, but we've changed the truth, and now we are being deceitful. The other word, devious speech, that word means a deviation, a departure from the truth. That's, now it's not just that we're changing the truth, now we're leaving the truth altogether. Either one of these is wrong. Either one of these needs to be avoided, to include making sure you're careful with what you say, that you're not unintentionally distorting the truth or deviating from the truth. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul explained that we are to, as Christians, make sure that what we are speaking is right. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Speak truth. Make sure what you are saying is right. Don't just, you know, just say whatever you want to say and it turns out wrong. Well, I didn't mean to deceive you. I didn't mean to lie to you. That's just what I thought, or I just, you know, wasn't careful with what I said. Don't be careless with what you say. Make sure what you're saying is right. Speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Doesn't just say, just make sure you're not intentionally lying. It says speak truth. Be honest in all things. God is a God who does not lie, Titus 1 and verse 2 tells us. If we are to be like God, which is what we are to strive to be, then we need to be honest in all that we do. Then the next thing in Proverbs chapter 4, the sixth piece of advice that we see there from Solomon, is that we need to stay focused on our goal. Verse 25, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Stay focused on your goal. Here we are at the end of the year. A lot of people are making goals and resolutions for the new year, and there's lots of good things that we could resolve to do, lots of good goals that we could set. There's also a lot of pointless goals and resolutions that we can make that really don't help. Remember what is important. Remember that what our ultimate goal is to please the Lord and reach the reward that He has given us. And we cannot allow ourselves to become distracted. John warned us in 1 John 2 and verse 17 that the world is passing away and also its lusts. We may make goals that we want to, you know, lose 15 pounds this year, or we may make goals that we want to get a promotion at work, or we may make some resolution that we want to start doing this or doing that. A lot of those things may be good, but if you focus all of your attention and all of your energy on things that pertain to this life and this world is passing away, ultimately those things aren't important. We cannot allow these other goals to distract us from what our main goal needs to be. If you look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the end of that chapter, Paul talks about what is truly and eternally important. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Do not allow the temporal things of this life, the things that are momentary, the things that are temporal, the things that are passing away, don't allow those things to distract you from what is eternal, from what cannot even be compared with the things in this life, because what we are waiting for is so much better than what we have in this life. Even whatever goals and resolutions we might set, it's nothing like what the Lord has promised to those who are faithful. We need to continue to press on toward the goal. As Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 14, do not allow anything to distract you from that goal of heaven. Then the final point in Proverbs chapter 4, last two verses, Solomon says we need to make sure that we keep on the right path. Verse 26, "Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil." There is a path that we are to follow that the Lord has given to us. Psalm 119 verse 105 talks about the Word of God being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. He has shown us the way that we are to go. So Solomon says, watch the path of your feet. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. The same type of language is used elsewhere in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 32, this idea of not turning to the right or to the left. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 32, it says, "So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left." Over in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is told the same thing, the same idea about not turning to the right or the left. Joshua 1:7 says, "Only be very courageous, be careful to do according to the law, all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Do not depart one way or the other. We know, and it's a reality, there are going to be people who will depart from the truth. Don't follow them when they depart from the truth. But in not following them, also don't overreact and swing so far into the other direction that you end up departing the other way. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Continue straight down the path. Follow that straight and narrow path that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Not the broad way that leads to destruction. Follow the straight and narrow path that leads to life and do not deviate from it. So those are the pieces of advice Solomon gave to his son that is necessary and important for all of us. As we look to the wisdom that is found in God's Word, we need to be willing to listen to it. We need to have our ears open to what the Word of God says. After we listen to it and after we've learned it, don't forget what the Word of God says. Always remember that this teaching that is found in God's Word is for our good, not for our harm. It is to help us and to benefit us. We need to make sure that we guard our heart, that we keep our heart pure and not allow the world to corrupt it. We need to be honest in what we say, which means more than just don't deliberately lie to people, but also be careful with what you say, that what you are saying is the truth. Keep focused on your goal of heaven. And don't allow even what might be commendable goals in this life to distract you from that goal. It doesn't matter how much money you earn, doesn't matter how good of a job you have or how nice of a house you have, in the end, if you haven't been pleasing to God. Remember what the goal is and keep on the right path. Solomon told his son, give attention to my words. The invitation is for us today. Give attention to these words. Give attention to what God has revealed in his word. If we will hear it and we will follow what it teaches, we can have life. And that life is eternal life once our time here is over. So as we conclude the lesson, I want to invite anyone who is not yet on that right path that leads to eternal life to start down that path. If you are here and are not a Christian, but you believe that Jesus is the Christ and are willing to repent, you understand what the Bible teaches, you understand what is required of you, and you're willing to turn away from sin and make a commitment to following God, to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess your faith in Christ, you can be baptized to have your sins washed away, and you can be placed on that path that leads to eternal life. Then once you've done that and you're on that path, stay on the path. If you've gone off of that path, either to the right or to the left, you need to repent and you need to turn back to God, pray to Him, and ask Him for forgiveness. And if we can help you in any way, we'd be more than happy to do that. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.